The obvious goal of the Seder is that everybody should feel like they personally went out of Mitzrayim. Right? How many of you, okay, honestly, at the end of any Seder that you ever had in your life, felt like you were mamish a slave in Egypt and went out that night? Okay, I've asked this question. I've asked this question without exaggeration to tens of thousands of people all over the world. And no one has ever raised their hand and said, yeah, except one man who said, I was in Auschwitz, I know what it's like to be a slave. I said, very nice, but that has nothing to do with the Seder. That has to do with your life experience. That's not, the Seder doesn't give you that feeling. So that means that nobody ever met mamish felt after the Seder that you were a slave and you went out. My wife tells me half of it she feels. She definitely feels like she's a slave. She never felt like she went out yet. But that's not exactly what we're talking about either. So what the Seder, right, doesn't seem to accomplish what it's supposed to. Now, I never had a chance to ask Gedolei Yisrael, you know, how they felt. Maybe they'll tell me, yeah, I almost feel like a slave and like I went out. And okay, but then the Torah is not meant only for special people. It's meant for all of us. And it doesn't seem to fulfill its purpose. Right? If most people don't feel the way they're supposed to feel. Beyond that, if that is really the goal of the Seder, that you should feel like a slave, the Shurei Das asks, it's not designed for that. It's very subtle. He has an idea. I have a better idea. He's more refined. So he has, I'll tell you what his idea is in a second, but I'll tell you, if they ask me to design the Seder, and the purpose of the Seder is at the end of the Seder you should feel like you were a slave who went out that night, then I would design a Seder like this. Everybody has to invite 20 people to their Seder. When they come, you divide them into two groups, Group A and Group B. Group A, you give whips, clubs, and Group B, you give mortar and cement. You take them in your backyard and you tell them like this. For the first quarter of the night, Group A is going to beat Group B, right, mercilessly while they build pyramids in your backyard. You get to be the coordinator since you invited the people to the Seder. You don't have to do this. So you just get a whistle and you tell them, I'm going to blow the whistle, start beating and building. At a quarter of the night, I'm going to blow my whistle again and strange roles. Group B beat Group A now while they build pyramids. At midnight, I'll blow my whistle again, and everybody's free. I guarantee the people at my Seder, right, would feel like they were slaves and went free that night much better than God's Seder. What's God's Seder? We want to now identify with 210 years of murder, hard work, bitterness, so we're going to eat lettuce. Right? It doesn't seem like, you know, really to capture the thing, right? Maybe feel like a rabbit after eating all that, but you don't feel like a slave who was in Egypt, right? It's just too subtle. So the Shurei Das had a different idea. He was a little bit more refined than me. He said we should have a play. Right? Like the Goyim have a passion play. Somebody's motion, Aaron and Paro. I remember when I was about 10 years old, the Cecil B. DeMille Ten Commandments came out. So my Hebrew school, I was in the Hebrew school then, afternoon Hebrew school in Miami, took me to see, there was like, you know, a field trip. It was the opening of the Ten Commandments. They took us special to see the Ten Commandments as part of the Hebrew school curriculum. It was probably the most significant thing that Hebrew school taught me. In any case, they took us to this thing. And I remember, it made a tremendous impression on me. Because I remember watching this thing and seeing the Red Sea split and the Jews go. And it was really, it was pre-Steven Spielberg. This wasn't the real heavy, you know, what's it called, effects or whatever, special effects. But it looked pretty good. And I remember thinking to myself, if Cecil B. DeMille could split the Red Sea, then God could too. So it really strengthened my emunah coming out of that theater that, you know, probably could happen. I mean, if Cecil B. DeMille could do it, then God could do it too. So, and it made an impression. So you could have a video with all the special effects, and today you could do it really good, and you'd watch that and you'd really feel like you were there. Wouldn't that be better, says the Shurei Das, than what we do? sit and eat matzah, morer, right? It doesn't really capture. Why do we do it like that? So his answer, I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to combine it with something the Michtam Eliyahu says and make everybody feel a little bit less frustrated at the end of the Seder. Because another year went by and I didn't feel like I was supposed to feel. I'll tell you what you're really supposed to feel. He says like this. I'm going to give you an example to what he says. He doesn't mention this. In the 1950s, when they used to have drive-in movies, so people would go in a car, you could pack as many people in the car, one entrance fee, and you had a speaker that you put on the window of the car, and you watched the movie. They didn't make their money on the entrance fee. You know what they made their money on? The popcorn, the soda, at intermission. And they wanted people to eat as much as they could. So first, they used to have like advertisements for the popcorn, for the soda, and they saw that really didn't make too much of an impression. Then they came upon something else. It was called subliminal advertising. They put one frame in the movie. The movie was, who knows what a movie. But one frame, drink Coke, or a nice picture of a frosty Coke and popcorn. And it was only one frame, so you couldn't see it. It went by too fast for your eye to catch it. Like when the spokes of a wheel, it has to go, something has to go slow enough that you can catch it as a separate thing. That's how movies worked. Right? The frames went faster than your eye could catch it, so it looked like it was moving, looked like it was all together. They put one frame, it went by so fast that you didn't see it consciously, but it went into your subconscious, and it was like a hypnotic suggestion. And they found that people had this uncontrollable urge to drink Coke and to eat popcorn. When the intermission came, it's against the law to advertise like that. There are those that say that the whole drug culture was created by songs that had these subliminal hints, not audible, but audible enough to go into your subconscious, right? About taking drugs or whatever. That's how in the 60s the drug culture started. Okay, whether it's true or not is very questionable, but the idea is there. That something that affects your external conscious mind makes an impression, but it quickly dissipates. But something that goes directly into your subconscious is much more powerful and lasts longer. The Rabbeinu Shlomo wanted the effect of the Seder to last more than the 2 weeks that it would take to the bruises to heal in my kind of Seder. Or the visual effect of what's it called of the Shirei Dasa Seder of having a video or a play or whatever. It wanted to affect your neshama, and therefore it had to be subtle. And God knows what affects your neshama. Now I want to add one thing to this so it makes even more sense. The Michtam Eliyahu says that time is not a straight line, but time is more like a spiral. And there are time zones that we continually go around and come back to. Now, the way I understand that, the way I think you could understand it well, is the following. Imagine 365 elevator shafts around in a circle. The elevator doesn't only go up, but it goes around. So the elevator goes from shaft number one, ground level, to shaft number two, ground level. Shaft number three, ground level. All the way till 365. And then when it goes to the next one, which is back to number one, it doesn't go ground level anymore. It goes up one floor and second floor, elevator shaft one. Second floor, elevator shaft two. Till it finishes a complete circuit, then goes up to floor three, one all the way around to 365. The first elevator shaft is called Tishrei. The first level is the first day of Tishrei. The first year of creation. Man was created on that first station, right? Ground level, first day of Tishrei. And then, second day of Tishrei, the elevator went on. That's going through time around. We came to the end of that year, we went up to the second year from creation. But the same elevator shaft. Meaning that the memory of the creation of man is in that shaft and permeates the shaft from top to bottom. Except now we're on the second level, so we're going through that memory, which happened on the level beneath me, but it fills the shaft with that memory. So every year we come back to the first day of Tishrei, that elevator shaft that's called the first day of Tishrei, that time zone, we may be now on the 5,770th floor, but we're in the same shaft. And in that shaft is the memory of the creation of man. That's Rosh Hashanah. Every year we pass through it, and we connect in to what happened all the years, or the significant things that filled that shaft with eternal memories. When we come around to the 15th day of Nisan, which is also one of the elevator shaft, on the 2,448th level was Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're now the 5,770th, but it's in the same, the memory is there. The only thing is, you have to connect into the memory. So it's like a computer. You have a computer which has memory. You want to transfer that memory into your personal computer. How do you do it? You don't pick up the monitor and try to, empty it out, right? Pour it out. It doesn't work like that. That's all external. You don't even put a cable, tie it around the monitor or around the computer and tie it around the other computer and expect it to work. You have to get into the guts of the computer, right? And the electronic or whatever it is, impulses that are in the drive and the memory have to somehow pass from this computer to the other one. So you need a cable. Now the cable doesn't have to look anything like the memory. The memory could be all about lions in Africa. The cable doesn't have to look like a lion. But it has to have a certain amount of pins, a certain amount of wires, in a certain configuration, round, square, a certain length of pin, right? And if it doesn't have the right length, or the right configuration, or the right number, and the right number of wires, it's not going to work. No fool is going to say, a cable's a cable, what difference does it make, how many pins it has, and how big they are, whatever. If it's not exact, it's not going to work. Same thing over here. You want to connect your neshama to the collective memory of Yetzias Mitzrayim that exists in this time zone, this elevator shaft called 15th day of Nisan. You need a cable. The cable has to be something that will go into your guts, into your neshama, and into the neshama of the time. The Rabban Neshom knows what that is. He knows how to make that cable. It's called matzah, morer, and it's dafka subtle. So it gets to your neshama, not to the outside. You don't tie it around the monitor or around the computer. It has to go into the guts. But if you fulfill that and you connect yourself into that memory, then the memory flows into your neshama, and it's like charging a battery. And you experience Yetzias Mitzrayim, not consciously, but it's in there in your neshama, and everything you do during the year comes from that battery. When you charge your car battery, you don't see it. It doesn't start to glow, get bigger. If it does, run, right? It looks the same way it did before you charge it, but it's charged. Now the car will run on it. Before that, it was empty. When you charge your battery at the Seder, you may not feel it. You could, maybe you will feel it, but you don't have to. It's there. And even if you don't recognize that it's there now, if you fulfill the mitzvahs properly, you made that connection. Your neshama is recharged with the memory of Yetzias Mitzrayim for another year. And everything you do during the year will come from a charged neshama. You don't necessarily have to feel that your neshama is charged, but you can be sure that if you did the mitzvahs properly, right? Not like people say, oh, what difference does it make how much matzah I eat? Matzah's matzah. I have to eat a dafka in this position and this amount of time, this amount. Yeah, just like a cable has to be this amount of wires, this amount of pins, this size. Otherwise, it doesn't work. It's not going to connect your neshama into that time zone if it's not done properly. But if you do it properly, right, and you come to the end of the Seder, you can be sure that liros is atzmo. It's not external. Your essence. Person has to feel in his essence that he was in Mitzrayim. How do you do that? By connecting into the time zone, the collective memory that exists in that time zone, in that elevator shaft. How do you connect in? With all these subtle mitzvahs that make the cable that connect your neshama to the time. And if you've done it properly, you can be sure that that memory is there. So, true, it may be better if you could feel it, but it's not necessary. If you've done the mitzvahs properly, you fulfilled the Seder properly, you can be guaranteed that inside you have let the memory of Yetzias Mitzrayim fill your neshama, charge it for another year, and that's the purpose of the Seder.